We're going to have a chance to reflect on some scripture that portrays Jesus in a little bit of an uncomfortable light, at least as we know Jesus being a God of love. And so I'm going to go back into that gospel lesson. I'm going to read it again. But before we do, let's start off our message with prayer. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the Lord of the church. Thank you for the gift of grace. Thank you that you know each of our hearts and you welcome us into your presence. Lord, I pray if anybody is struggling with you as Lord and Savior, struggling with anything in their life, that you would just be the God of that situation, break through, give them a sense of peace, remind them that you're right there. Help them hold on to you in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any of you wrestle with this text, the way that Jesus is coming across? I'm going to read it again. And as I read it, what I'd like to have you do is put yourself in the story. Maybe you can relate to one of the characters, and maybe you've acted in a certain way in your life. But here it goes, all right? So Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. What was going on is he was in Galilee, and then he had an encounter with some Pharisees, and he decided to withdraw after that conversation. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. So now he's left Galilee, and he's on the border of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region comes out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her, not even a word. His disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came, and she knelt in front of Jesus and said, "Lord, help." And he responds, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She responds, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus says, "Woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Can you imagine if this encounter took place in 2020 with access to social media? It would have gone viral, right? We love negative stuff. And if they could portray Jesus in a negative light, what are they going to do? This is your Lord. Look, he's mean, uncaring. You could maybe even say he's prejudiced because he's treating someone from a different community differently. Wow. Is this the same Lord, the Lord of love? Yeah, it's right in here. It's not a mistake. This is the inspired word of God. And yet, what is happening? Jesus is teaching us something. Jesus often will take the way we practice things in our culture, our customs, our cultural norms, if you would, and flip them on their head. And that's what he's doing here also. He knows the heart of the woman before she says a word. He knows what the disciples are going to do before they say a word. He knows what he's going to do. And yet he draws out the faith of this woman to show how great it is and the witness that she can give. And she teaches, and he teaches us also. Because look, if this were us, I mean, let's be honest. If we encountered anybody that ever treats us with disrespect, what do? We call them out on it, don't we? We will not stand, especially in our American culture. We do not tolerate disrespect. We all believe that we should have it, be given the idea of respect and be treated fairly and treated accordingly. And if we're not, we will let you know about it. Oh, we may not tell you directly, but you better be sure that it's going to be all over social media. We're going to tell 400 of our closest friends on Facebook about the bad service that we received or the fact that you treated me inhumanely. Right? I mean, that's just what we do. If you've ever been to a place, an organization where you've received bad service, do you go back? Probably not. Do you tell people about it? Maybe. It's said that for every bad service, at least 10 people are told when there's something bad that happens in terms of a service organization. But if something good happens, only 2 people are told. That's the statistics that are out there. We love negative press. We love that kind of stuff. We just feed off of it. And yet here we have a woman who seems to just accept it. And what's going on there? She seems to accept the label of being called a dog. And this isn't a compliment. This is not man's best friend here in Bible times. And even in the Middle Eastern culture now, dogs aren't treated in the same place that we treat them here. Back in Bible times, dogs were nothing but rats. They were problems. They would scavenge and just do whatever. They were just in the way. And so this woman, for whatever reason, she accepts the label. Is it because she has some low self-esteem that she accepts this label? Is it because she realizes that she's not worthy of being in the presence of Jesus that she accepts this label? And maybe in that there's a teaching moment for us also. Because the reality is, none of us are worthy of being in the presence of Jesus, right? None of us. None of us. Think about those sins that you've committed. The words that you've said, the thoughts that you've held in anger or frustration against somebody else. Think about the things you've done that would break God's heart. None of us are worthy of being in the presence of Jesus. And we're in here in church and we're reminded of it, we're okay with it. If we're told that we're not worthy of being in the presence of Jesus elsewhere, we struggle with it. But none of us are worthy of it. And this Canaanite woman seems to recognize that. And there's a lesson there for us. We're not worthy. Every one of us falls short of the glory of God. We're sinners and we need to repent. Another teaching that comes out of this set of scriptures. She's content with the crumbs. She's content with the leftovers. She's content with the table scraps, even if it just falls off. She says, Lord, help my daughter. Just help my daughter. Are we content with the leftovers? I'm not. Unless it's the only thing that's in the fridge, right? We want the latest and the greatest. We really do. I mean, we can't wait for iPhone 20 to come out, right? It just, whatever. You just give me the latest and greatest technology. If we're first-time home buyers, we want our first-time home to be our dream home, our forever home. They make TV shows about this kind of thing, right? We aren't content with the leftovers. We have supersized this and supersized that. We have supermarkets and super this so that we can do one-stop shopping. And now we can just do it all online. It's just great. We just want the latest and the greatest. We don't want the leftovers because we believe we deserve more than that. And yet here's this woman, she's content with the scraps. Jesus wants you to have more than just the scraps. You realize that, right? Think about the blessings that Jesus has given to each and every single one of us. Even though we don't deserve it, even though we are not worthy of being in his presence, Jesus gives us more than the scraps. He gives us the greatest gift of all on this side of paradise, the gift of forgiveness. And that's huge. He gives us heaven, and we, in our own human words, we can't even describe it. We don't know anything. We don't know what it's ultimately like. We have to get there to understand it, and we can't wait to get there. He gives us the gift of salvation, and we can't count the cost of to have our Lord on the cross. We don't understand any of it. He means us to have more than just the scraps. He wants us to have life and have it to the full, and he's pouring out those blessings. And he's doing it in such a way that shows his followers that those gifts are for everybody. You see, the cross is the great equalizer, levels the playing field. Everyone is equal under the cross. And so this woman, who's from a community in the Canaanite community, who in Bible times, that was one of the communities when the Hebrew people went in to take the promised land, God wanted them wiped out. They weren't even supposed to be around anymore, right? So the way that the disciples treat this lady and the way that the Hebrew people treat the Canaanites is they don't want anything to do with them. They're them people. And so Jesus takes the disciples who are crying out, Lord, just do a miracle or something and send her away. Get out. She's crying after us. She's a nuisance. Have you ever been bothered by somebody? They're just like, ugh. Yeah, I see people pointing. Oh, my goodness. Lord, have mercy. All right. So have you ever been just irritated and you're like, Lord, just do something. Do a miracle. I mean, they don't have her well-being in mind. They just don't want to be bothered anymore by this irritant. And Jesus says, I've come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? He's taking a belief that the Israel has, that you're only here for us, Messiah, and he's starting to turn it on her head as he draws out from this woman her great faith and shows that she matters too. And there are some people who are here right in this sanctuary that need to know that you matter. And maybe you've been marginalized. And maybe you've been marginalized by the church. And you need to know that you have a place at the table. And you need to know that your God and Creator thought you worthy enough that he was willing to lay down his life for you. You have a place at the table. We all have a place at the table because of what Jesus has done for us. He's given us his life, he's given us his death and his resurrection, and he was allowed himself to be treated like a criminal on a cross, and he did it in a way that we would have life and have it to the full. We all have a place at the table because of what Jesus has done. But here's the other thing that we need to be aware of. There is a real enemy at work in this passage. And it's only given a byline. He's only given a byline here. It says, my daughter was being oppressed by a demon. And you need to understand that there is a real enemy, and his name is Satan, and he wants to see you destroyed. He wants to see your faith destroyed. He wants to see you just out of the hands of our Lord. He wants to see you far from God as you possibly can be. There's scripture passages that say he wants to see you sifted like wheat. He wants to see you just done in. And nothing can give him more joy than to see you taken out. And you and I do not have a chance in the world against him. Jesus does. And he's given us that victory over him. And maybe you're struggling with a sin. Maybe there's a sin that's just ripping you up. It's got a good hold of you. Give it over to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't want to be this anymore. This is not me. This is not what you want for me. Just give it to God. And you may have to do it over and over and over again. And God will give you freedom from that. God's given us victory over sin, death, and the devil. He's given us grace. He's given us the gift of faith. And he draws out from this woman her great faith. And as he commends her, yes, you have a great faith. Yes, be it for you as you desire. Your daughter is healed. Thank you for being a witness. Thank you for recognizing who I am, the Messiah, the one who came to seek and save the lost. Not just one particular people, but the lost. And we were all once lost, but not anymore. You see, God doesn't call us dogs. He doesn't take us out. He calls us children. Children that have an inheritance, a purpose, and a place at the table. Amen? Amen. All right, so we just take that, live it. Be a reflection of that to everybody that you come across as you get to share how beautiful it is to live with Jesus Christ.